for that. That's the most he's had since 2012.
So it was just like, it was like, man, Starlin Castro, and
he was still really bad.
And he's not like 29, gonna turn 30 tomorrow.
Right.
Like it's gonna be later in the year before he turns 30.
Next.
And it's just like, what?
Yeah, turn March. So he's a guy who plays the whole season at his, you know, age whatever season. So he'll play all of next year at 30.
At age 30.
Yeah.
Incredible. It just made me laugh. I'm like, man, I feel like I've been talking about Starlin Castro for 17 years.
We were just saying that with Ben Watson about to be activated by the Patriots. The tight end coming back at age 38.
Hey, man, you know, they need someone to play that role. And it's not going to be Gronk because Gronk is out here doing all sorts of other stuff. And he feels like he's all healed up.
And other stuff.
And good for him. And he's also like shrunk. He's like Sage's size now.
Well, when you take me, the football weight comes off in a hurry.
Pretty
fast. Unrecognizably so sometimes.
Look at Olin. Like if I told you that was, you know, all pro center Olin Kruch, you go,
I'd never believed you.
Wasn't he 300 pounds when he played? Now he's just lean.
I don't understand how, I mean, just the size change is enormous.
What happens is a lot of those guys, like their frames are meant to carry a certain amount of weight, and then they have to have these crazy 10,000 calorie a day diets. You're waking up in the middle of the night. You're eating and then going back to sleep. And then when it's over, you're like, oh, I don't have to do that crazy stuff anymore.
I literally did not recognize Jay Hilgenberg when he retired. This was years ago. But when I had this image in my mind of Jay Hilgenberg. And he showed up at Hallis Hall one day when I was up there and I introduced myself. And he's like, Jay, no. Wait, what? Like he said it twice. And I think the face kind of looked the same. But I did not, I could not comprehend that it was the same guy.
It's weird.
That was the All-Pro Bears center.
You know where you could tell it, though? I know this is stupid, but you've got, you know, three guys on the show. It's the handshake. Like you can always tell.
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, I can't believe this guy played pro ball, like whether football or baseball. And then you shake their hand. You're like, oh, yep, absolutely.
I get pushed a lot. Because, you know, we're
end of that's it.
We're friends. And so I, you know, you're messing around and you get pushed a lot. And when they push me, I go flying versus when they push each other. It's, you know, a stalemate.
Lawrence, so, how was your weekend? Good. Alex put me into the wall again. Didn't mean to.
No, they never mean to. Like sometimes like Lance will stop short sometimes when we're walking and you run into him and you bounce off. It's like, what species are you guys?
Then you think of what Khalil Mack is doing.
Right.
Okay? Even with all this said, right? These are the Uber Mensch, right? These are just, they're built differently. And Khalil Mack is doing this to players on the field. These aren't retired players. These are actual starters in the NFL. And he is punching one in the shoulder, and that guy moves back in a way that allows him to then lean with his left hand on a guy who he just moves out of the way. It's incredible.
The fact that he got one of the half sack on a play where you get the double team, okay? And what the offensive lineman will tell you, oh, yeah, we love the idea of you running to the inside so that we can double you, because then you can't run around us. We got two guys here that are 320 pounds.
Have fun with that.
And then Khalil Mack goes, I'm going to move you over here. Then I'm going to dip my shoulder underneath, and then I'm going to push you with the other hand, and then I'm at your quarterback. It is amazing to watch him pass rush. Yep.
It's amazing.
It's a combination of like all the guys that we grew up loving. Like there is some Dwight Freeney in there. Mm. There is some Reggie White in there. There is some Richard Dent in there.
My father-in-law he's from New York, lifelong Giants fan, and he just shakes his head and he said, "This looks like Lawrence Taylor. This looks like Lawrence Taylor. I'm telling you, this looks like Lawrence Taylor." And he's not wrong.
No, he's not. He's absolutely not wrong. That is Bernstein and McKnight. Now Dan can get back to his sandwich.
Go get mine. Sandwich.
From 11 City Diner, which is one of my favorite places, too. That place with the holla French toast.
Let's go.
Holla. Okay, that's enough from you. All right, so you can hear them 9 to noon every day here on The Score. You are listening to WSCR and HD Chicago, WBMX HD2 Chicago. The top of the hour is being brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. The Wolves open up on Saturday. Go see them, 7 p.m. puck drop. It is a lot of fun. Tony, let's go.
Come on! Get up! Come on, get up! If you're psyched as I am, get up! Yeah!
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Previously on The Lawrence Holmes Show.
So Alex Brown is listening to the show, which I very much appreciate. He had some thoughts for me, so he decided to text those thoughts for me. And I said, this is stupid. You should just call into the show. And he was like, I'll do that. Give me the number. And I tell him to call in, and he's like, I'm in line at the Chick-fil-A. And I'm kind of like, I want to hear AB's Chick-fil-A order.
Do you think he actually goes healthy with it?
No.
Good.
Hello, AB.
What's up, man? How you doing?
All right, so what was the Chick-fil-A order?
So, I got a grilled chicken wrap with no cheese, and I get my large fry, and I get a lemonade. But I got to get the large fry.
I figured that you would get the lemonade. I didn't think that the chicken sandwich would be as healthy, but you kind of split the difference there. Like, you got the healthy wrap, and then you got the large fries and the sweet lemonade.
Exactly. Well, it's diet. I got the diet lemonade. Yes, the diet one.
Well, I guess that's how you stay in shape after you're done playing. You get all that stuff.
Make me a bicycle, clown!
That was fun yesterday talking with AB while he was in the drive-thru at Chick-fil-A. We are broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios. Visit your local dealer and test drive the Hyundai Palisade today. Top of the hour is being brought to you by Northwestern Football. Ryan Field joined Pat Fitzgerald, the Big Ten Coach of the Year, as they host Ohio State, Iowa, Purdue, and Minnesota in Big Ten play. You can go and check them out. Get yourself some tickets at nusports.com. We have a lot to do on the show today, and it's one of those shows where I'm like, man, I wish I had 3 hours, because there's more Bear stuff to discuss. There's all sorts of Cubs stuff. I ran across some great Bears audio that I wanted to share. Bulls had media day. I don't know how much of the Bulls we're going to do. I did a whole Bulls media day podcast, Aloho Daily, so if that's what you're dying to get into, it is there for you on radio.com, my podcast, Aloho Daily. But I promise the people this. We did this at the end of the first half of the Cubs season. So we have these conversations with Joe Maddon as manager of the Cubs. We had our last conversation with him as manager of the Cubs last week. RIP. He's not dead. He's probably going to end up managing the Angels. Anyway, we have these questions that you submit every week. Tony was very inventive, came up with this box of questions that we ask Joe, and then your questions get answered by him. And they're almost always not baseball, which is what made it interesting. So we did this at the end of the first half. We figured that we would stay true to ourselves as a show. It is Tuesday, a little bit after noon, that we would take some of the fun conversations that we had with Joe on the questions that you asked and put them all together in a supercut. So Tony worked really hard on this. Tony, are we going to play like the regular, like Joe Maddon imaging? Can we do that?
Do you want to?
Yeah, why not? Why don't we act like Joe is joining us right now? I think that would be fun for people. And then we could just do it that way and then let people hear that. And then we can get on with the business of the day. But why not have a little bit of fun, considering that the guy won a World Series and went to the playoffs 4 times in a row and was great for our show? So, all right, Tony, let's go.
I mean, about the business. Ain't that right, Joe?
Joe Maddon.
He's got that flair about him. When his name's announced, the place erupts all the time, but he's always in the middle of something good.
Manager for the Chicago Cubs.
And then Cliff and Shelley, the Penguins. I mean, all this stuff, the Penguins, like, pooped all over. They poop every 15 minutes, apparently. That's what Penguins do. All over the brand-new rug on the other side. It was kind of fun to watch.
Hey, I learned a lot from watching Joe.
Joe Maddon with Lawrence Holmes on 670 The Score.
Okay, nice.
Hopefully, again, that will be the case, but this is our supercut of all the fun questions that you asked Joe. All right, Joe, so I'm reaching into the box. The listeners have a couple of questions. This one, the first one is, what is your biggest regret?
My biggest regret, geez, I guess that I didn't get a chance to play in the major leagues. I think that would be it, but I don't know. I didn't have, I guess I had a certain amount of control over that. but nobody else saw me as good as I saw myself at that time. So the regret would be had I been able to play in the big leagues, even for one day, I think I'd have been a manager 10 years before I was. So that was the one thing that kept it back. But conversely, the fact that I did not become a manager until I was 51, I think it was, really permitted me to understand what I'm doing, how I'm doing it, and feel very confident about what I do. So, you know, you think you want to be something at a younger age, but sometimes, thank God for unanswered prayers. But I think not having played in the big leagues would be the one thing.
The second question is, what's the best and worst thing about getting older?
The best thing is usually you have more money than you did when you started out. I talked about my, if I gave you the salary structure I had from the time I began coaching, it was, and then you're running all over the place. You got more than one household. It was insane. So the worst part was, how do I say this so that I did not have money? The best thing about, that you have money as an older person, but I swear to you, did you ever hear the line by Mark Twain, if I did not have a memory or a mirror, I would still think I was 16 years of age?
Yep.
I'm weirdly like that. I mean, I know, my knee bothers me. I get it. I get that. I look in the mirror, like I said, I used to have brown hair, and definitely I don't like to see myself photographed anymore, but, when you look out your eyeballs, man, it's the same world. And so I go about it the same way. I feel the same way. I think a lot of people argue the same point. So it's better to have a couple bucks in your pocket than when you're 25. But I talked about that. And then, the last one I'll give you is the mistakes of youth are preferable to the wisdom of old age. And, so, you know, you had all this opportunity to make all these mistakes. That's the one thing I miss, is that you have all these chances to make mistakes where nobody gets to see it, and then you become who you are eventually when you're 65 years of age.
So, Joe, I'm just trying to follow protocol here, but as I understand it, listeners have submitted questions into the box here, and we wrap it up with a question from the box. What is the weirdest thing a guest has done at your house?
The weirdest thing a guest has done at my house?
That's what the I'm not. Wow. That's what Joe's box came up with today.
Well, it sounds like it comes from some kind of perverted family.
It could.
Yeah, I mean, because the weirdest thing somebody's done at my house. Wow. I would just like sometimes when if you don't know somebody that they just isn't there something off limits about just opening a fridge without permission?
Yes.
You know, I mean, I think that's about as weird as it's got. I mean, nothing's happened in the bathroom or in the bedroom or anything like that. I think the weirdest are. You know, when the buddy comes in, or the guy you know from high school, and he just walks into the fridge, who cares? But when the first time guest just happens to stroll in, there's something sacred about having to be invited to open the fridge, unless you've known the kid since the sixth grade.
Couldn't agree more.
Yeah, unless you said, look, you know, make yourself at home.
Beers in the fridge.
Mi casa, su casa kind of thing. Unless that's actually said, that would be an imposition to walk over to the fridge. I got you.
I think so. But I think also on that line, I mean, the greatest compliment is when somebody just falls asleep after a good meal on your couch. I love that. You know, somebody just gives it up, falls asleep. They like your place. They feel comfortable. I take that as high praise.
You got to have a good couch for a good nap like that, too.
Oh, we do, brother. We do, man. The couch in Hazleton, brother, you could nod out in a heartbeat.
Does it have the plastic cover on it from the mom?
No, yeah. No, Beanie wanted me to do that, but I said, come on, Mom. We just get a new couch if we mess this one up.
All right, this other question is, if you were a spy, what would your code name be?
Code name would be Michael Scarn.
I was going to go with Flamingo. That is too easy. That's
okay, just Scarn. Scarn would be fine. And Jay would be Catherine Zeta Jay, something like that.
All right. Well, you've actually put a lot of thought into that, which is great.
No,
Joe,
that was
so
extemporaneous, man. I mean, I watched The Office, like I told you, almost every night. I just saw the episode a couple nights ago again. That thing is brilliant. I love Steve's Carell's humor, man. Carell's humor is awesome.
What's the best smell of all time?
Wow. The best odor of all time. Easily, I think. It's normally was a Sunday. My mom would make the spaghetti meatball sausage and the sauce and everything else on the stove, and I still get it because my sister does it. Beanie will still do it on occasion, but that odor walking into a kitchen, that real strong Italian scent, that if that was in a bottle, that'd be a great cologne, I think.
Yeah. One of my best friends, Matt Lazzarato, one of my teammates from college, that you sound Matt. Just like him.
Is that right, Matt?
That's exactly the way that he talks about cooking.
Or fresh, fresh bread. You know, they do the fresh bread in the morning. Beanie used to do that also. And you'd wake up, all that the kitchen stuff. It's just, it brings you back home. That's where friends hang out, where your family hangs out. That's all we ever did. I mean, it was all about the kitchen. I just talked about that with somebody else yesterday, too. It's all about the kitchen. And now we got the Madden's Post back, you know, over in Wrigleyville there. And it's just about food. It's about the kitchen. It's about sitting down and breaking bread.
What makes you say, what was I thinking when you look back on your own life?
Oh, the number one, I can't mention. Number two, what was I thinking? Wow. No, the number one, I'm not going to reveal because that one, wow, what a turning point in my life. What was I thinking? Maybe what was I thinking when I quit football at Lafayette College? And I'll tell you why that's on the forefront of my mind. I just got this gig from this email from one of the guys that works with the quarterback club there, having a big event for Coach Putnam, who was the head coach at Lafayette in 1972-3 when I was there. And I played, had a really good freshman year. And then I went back for fall practice in August. And I just had enough playing football. I was going to be the starting quarterback my sophomore year. And I went in there and Coach Joe Serra was the guy that recruited me. I drove out with my 66 Volvo all packed up to the gills to go back to Hazleton in the middle of August. I walked in with my playbook. I told Coach Serra I was retiring, and he said, no, you can't do that until you talk to Coach Putnam. So I had to go in there and talk to Coach Putnam, and I handed my playbook back. He tried to talk me out of it. I said, no, my mind is made up, and so forth and so on. So I think that was a youthful decision. I really just wanted to play baseball, but it could have led to other things that I'm not even aware of till today. But the last point is, a couple years ago, I called Coach Putnam for the first time, and I don't know, 40 years, whatever it was. And he had thought that he had done something wrong, and that's what led to me not wanting to play anymore. That really totally bummed me out. And I was so happy to reconnect with him so I could set him straight and say, no, it wasn't you. It was me as a 19 or 20-year-old at that time making a decision. So I'd like to know what I was thinking at that particular moment.
Okay. Okay, I got a couple questions from the box, Joe. You ready?
Sure. Yes, sir.
All right. What do people do that drives you absolutely bonkers?
People do that drives me bonkers. Anybody that would cut in front of me in a line. It happened today on the elevator. I'm getting on the elevator, and these two people, I'm standing there waiting, and they all of a sudden show up around the corner, and they just jump right in front of me and get on the elevator that was full. Line jumpers. It happened to me in Europe. I was at a McDonald's in Germany, and just jumped in front of me, and I just went off on this person. Probably didn't understand the word I was saying, but line jumpers are at the bottom of my list, man.
I agree with you. Habitual line steppers, like I got a problem with those guys. Here's another one. Would you rather, you're already famous, but if you weren't famous, would you rather be famous and have a scandal or never be talked about in the media at all?
Never be talked about in the media at all. You know, about your family and keeping everything with your family, your kids and your mom and everything. I would prefer, you know, just hanging out at the pad, getting up in the morning, doing the coffee thing, maybe delivering some hoagies again and mopping some floors at about 4 o'clock in the afternoon and taking your mom and your wife out. And that sounds pretty. So it's just, I would prefer nothing at all.
I struggle with this. I not for a scandal. Mm-hmm. I think I would rather not be mentioned at all than be involved in a scandal because it just brings everyone into the whole thing.
Come on, all press is good press. Come on, guys.
No, Tony, that is not right. Mm-hmm. The idea that all press is good press is not correct. It is not. I'm telling you.
That's an easy mark to indicate that. And I what we do and how we do it, man. I do appreciate all the recognition, everything that's occurred, and it's been wonderful. But at the end of the day, man, it's about your family first.
This one is really interesting. You talk about getting into the psyche of someone. The question is, Joe, you can either never play baseball or you can play, but you're always going to lose.
Oh, wow. you have to want to play, because even if you may lose, you still believe you're going to win. This game is so addictive. I mean, that's a tough method to wrap your mind around. I have to play baseball. You would have had to have played baseball. Yes.
Okay, that's good. Here, this other one.